Lumen Crusades Australia, Message A, Youth at the Crossroads, Evangelist Bill Newman.
Now tonight the subject for the message is Youth at the Crossroads, and I'm reading from Matthew's Gospel, the 7th chapter, and verse 13, where it says these words, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who are going by it. But the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few there are that find it." Now Jesus Christ taught that there are two roads in life. There's the broad road, and it's going to destruction, and there's the narrow road, and that's the way that leads to life. And tonight, you're on either road. You're either on the broad road, which is going away from God, or you're on that narrow road, which is leading to God. Because you've made that decision to commit your life to Jesus Christ. And tonight you're at the crossroads. You've got to make a decision. Which way are you going to go? What are you going to do with that life of yours? Are you going to live it for yourself? Or are you really going to commit that life of yours totally and completely to Jesus Christ? You know, the whole of life is decisions. We've got to make decisions. And young people seem to be at a time when they have to make these great decisions in life. Young people, I think one of the great decisions that you've got to make is in the area of drugs, whether you're really going to take up with drugs. I know that in a lot of high schools in Australia today, it is just so easy to get onto drugs if you want to. Teenager Sally Abbott said this in the Woman's Weekly not long ago. Teenagers are aware of the consequences of drug taking, addiction, the health risks, but that doesn't deter them from the temptation to get some cheap kicks. It is a way of relieving the boredom and frustration which many of us find in unfulfilling jobs and vague university courses. There's something like 35 heroin addicts in Australia at the moment. And heroin is being smuggled into Australia by the tons. In a recent report, it said the amount of heroin now being smuggled in is estimated to have increased sixfold in less than a decade, and to now have an illegal sales value of $300 million every year. There's a book that's just been recently produced called The Drug Traffic in Australia. And it's blown the lid off the drug traffic in Australia. How that from the Asian Triangle it's coming into Australia by the tons and tons and tons every year into Sydney. And it's just been distributed right throughout the rest of the state. And young people have to fight all of these temptations, all of these great problems to do with drugs. When I was in Melbourne, I cut this out of the paper. It's a young girl, and her name is Bonnie. It says, "I'm living a life of hell on earth." She says this, "I'd just like to speak to some of those drug runners. I want them, everyone, to know what it's like to be 18 going on 104. She says this, "I've lost so much, I don't know what's ahead. I don't think about getting married. I certainly don't deserve to wear white." She goes on to say this, "Housebreaking became more lucrative than walking the street. I don't know how many houses all over Melbourne. We'd make $1,000 every day." Bonnie pauses. "I just want kids and adults to know that the drug life is no good. It's so corrupt. The men at the top are powerful. The kids are just statistics." And then she says this in closing. "But still she is searching. But before I was hurting, I wouldn't admit it to anyone else. But every night now I pray, I just get down and pray. I'd like to tell a few of those things to the drug pushers. I wonder if anyone will listen." There was another article in the paper that was given to me just the other day. And it's all about the pop queen, Debbie Byrne. And it says this, "Drugs have turned the queen of pop, Debbie Byrne, into a walking skeleton. A show business friend said today, I doubt whether her fans would recognize her." Radio performer Viv Greenhalgh said, "She was shocked and saddened after talking to Debbie at a Melbourne hairdressing saloon. It is a great shame to see what has become of the glamorous, talented entertainer," she said. "I never forgot her pale face and the little body. She wore no makeup and she didn't sound like Debbie." The former singer star, now 26, is an inmate of the Audacity House Drug Rehabilitation Centre. But there are so many kids like that, right throughout Australia, just being destroyed by drugs. Now, why do the kids today get onto drugs? Well, one of the reasons is just because of plain curiosity. They want to see what it was like. Just outside of Brisbane, in one part of the bush, they found these hundreds and thousands of plastic bags where the kids had been glue-dipping to try to get onto some cheap kick because of plain curiosity. And then two, because of lack of leadership. Young people want leadership in life. They want a sense of fulfillment. They want a sense of destiny. They want to know what life is really all about. And then young people get onto drugs because of rebellion. They want to try their own kicks. They want to go their own way. And then two, some go on a trip of mind expansion. And drugs promise a voyage of self-discovery. And then two, a lot of young people today are fearful of the future. They are really scared. A teenager said this recently. Our generation knows that the wrong finger on the right trigger could blow up the whole world. So we live for today, because tomorrow may never come. And then too, a lot of kids are on the drugs just because of boredom. Motorcycle daredevil, Evel Knievel, says this. I do a lot of crazy stuff to stop the world from dying from boredom. If it wasn't for me, people wouldn't have anything to look at and to talk about. And then too, I think that a lot of young people are desperately lonely. They are really lonely in life. Listen, young person, if I were to give you a piece of paper and a pencil and ask you to write down those people that really know you as a person, how many people could you write down? Because young people today, they are so desperately lonely. And then too, there's that sense of alienation. They don't feel part of the crowd. We had a Youth for Christ team come through Australia from America. They said they travelled the world. There is no place in the world where it's a peer pressure that's quite like Australia, where the kids are so scared of doing anything that's different from the rest of the crowd. Then there are the pressures of life. But I think that young people are experiencing a spiritual hunger. You know, there's a tremendous movement of the Spirit of God right throughout the world. 63,000 people are committing their lives to Jesus Christ every day in the world. 1,600 churches are being formed every week in the world. There's a turning back to God because young people want to know what's really in life, what life is all about. But these drug kicks, and there are so many forms of drugs. Of course, there's tobacco, and you see all the signs, and it's real cool. But the peer pressure's on the kids to take up smoking, and there's this big ad, and here's a cowboy and 50,000 cows, and it says, zump, thump, thump, you know, come to where the flavour is. Marlboro country. Well, I don't know what kind of flavour that you're going to get with 50,000 cows and someone blowing smoke in your face, but that's where the flavour is. There was a guy on a train one time, and he leaned over and he said to this little old lady, "Madam, do you mind if I smoke?" She said, for all I care, you can just burst into flames. Listen, it's not you that does the smoking. The cigarette does the smoking. You're just a sucker. I don't know. But I do know this. That 11,000 people die every year in Australia as a direct consequence of cigarette smoking. But you say, "I'm not addicted to it. I can't wait to leave here tonight before I light up. And it's all right." You know, I'm perfectly right. It's not affecting my health. But I think the greatest drug abuse today is in the area of legal drugs. There's an estimated 600,000 Australians that have an alcohol problem. And there are so many of the adults. And say they say to the kids, "Oh, keep off those drugs," but they are just as addicted as so many other drugs. And so many of you ladies here tonight, you're addicted to drugs. You can't get on without Valium. And there are so many of you that don't really medically need those drugs to help you through life. But so many are turning on, and they find that the drugs turn on them. They're after the kick, and they're getting the kickback. In a letter to the editor of Time magazine, a young girl said this: tuning out, getting high and getting stoned, they only reflect an inner starvation and a thirst for a satisfying, fulfilling life. And that's true. Jesus Christ said this: "The thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life more abundantly. All these things that people are trying to fill up their lives with. But Jesus Christ says, look, I want to give you life far more abundantly. But notice what it says, young person. The thief, now that's the devil, he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He wants to wreck your life. He wants to destroy the whole thing. He wants your life to be absolutely miserable. In fact, if the devil had his way, he would kill you right there on the spot right now. Because the devil wants to get back at God. And the devil knows how much God intensely loves you. And the way that he can get back at God the most is to destroy you. And he'll try to do it. He'll try to sift you like wheat. He'll try to wreck your life. He'll try to spoil the whole thing. He wants to even kill you. But listen, forget all the chemical substitutes. When Jesus Christ was going to the cross, they offered him a drug, and he said no. He refused it. And he went on to the cross. He didn't want to be drugged. Young Pearson, keep right away from drugs. Drugs are for losers. But then too, I think one of the great problems, one of the great decisions that you as a young person have to make in life is in the area of illicit sex. I was at the weekend in Victoria, and I spoke one night, and then the young people invited me back to have a time of questions. And I said, listen, ask me anything. I can't guarantee you to answer anything, but let's just open the whole thing up. And some of the questions that came because of the problems that young people face in this area of immorality and illicit sex. And young person today, it is so hard. With all of the filth, with the piles of Penthouse and Playboy magazine and PM magazine and all of the videos that are today and the hardcore pornography. And you go to school and you hear all the garbage and the filth and the suggestive languages and the dirty jokes that have been passed down through the marketplaces of time for so long. Listen, young people, tonight, Hugh Hefner didn't invent sex. God invented sex. He invented it to be something pure and wonderful. He gave it to man as the expression of highest love. But man has come along and he's perverted that wonderful gift that God has given. Now why does God say thou shalt not commit immorality? Is God some killjoy up there in the universe, some cosmic policeman who says, oh no, you've got to restrain. I don't want you to have fun in life. I want to bind you up. No. God's not like that. He wants you to have freedom. And the only young person that is truly free is a young person that is given to Jesus Christ. Augustine said years ago, slavery to God is perfect freedom. And you know that if you go out and live free and loose, that you get guilty and you feel rotten because you're violating a deep law that is deep within you that God has given to you. Well, firstly, God says thou shalt not commit immorality to protect your future marriage. Young girls, listen. God wants you to have the most wonderful marriage. Now listen, don't spoil that. Don't mar it. It's been estimated that 80% of young people in one area have premarital sex. 80%. And in another area, 19% of 18-year-olds had engaged in premarital sexual relationships. You say, Bill, what's the wrong with that? That's the way of the world today. People are doing that. Listen, let me tell you what's wrong with it. In a recent Gallup poll, they tried to discover why it is that there's so many marriage breakups in Australia today, with something like 42,500 marriages breaking up every year in Australia. Why? And they found that one of the primary causes was that couples had engaged together in premarital illicit sex, and because of that, that led to an area of distrust in the marriage and ultimately led to the breakup of that marriage. Young person, if you break God's moral laws, if you foul up the whole thing, you're just going to mess up something beautiful that God wants for you. Listen to what it says in the book of 1 Corinthians. It says this, yet the body is not for fornication or for immorality, but for the Lord and the Lord the body. Listen carefully. Flee immorality. Every sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. What does that mean? He sins against his own body. Let me tell you what it means. It means simply this, that if you go out, and young person, suppose you allow that guy, young girl, if you allow that guy to sort of have sexual relationship with you, let me tell you what happens. It's done in secret, maybe on the back seat of that car or in that home, when your parents are out or somewhere out on the beach or somewhere like that, and you allow him to have sexual relationship, when you come to, and probably you don't marry that person anyway, but when you come to the marriage, what happens is this, that you've ignited in that guy a fire and a passion which when it comes to the marriage relationship, you cannot fully fulfill. And what he's going to say to you is, listen, let's drink together. Or let's watch a dirty movie together. Or let's read a dirty magazine together. What he's saying to you is this, sweetheart, you don't satisfy me anymore. And I feel for so many women today who have turned animal instincts into their husbands and they're trying to satisfy his animalistic lust. And it's so tragic. All because mankind today says, I'll do what I want. Instead of just waiting that little time and doing it right and proper, God has placed that holy circle around marriage. And if we break those laws, if we commit immorality outside that circle of marriage, we have to pay the consequences for it. God does it to protect our body. There's something like 13,000 known cases of venereal disease in Australia. And in some schools in Sydney, venereal disease is reaching epidemic proportions, and now there are strains of venereal disease that they can't possibly cure. Not to mention the blind and deformed babies that are coming on and the abortions that are happening. There's something well over now, 60,000 abortions in Australia every year. That makes Herod Slaughter of the Innocents seem like nothing in comparison. The most unsafe place in Australia today isn't on the open road. The most unsafe place in Australia today is in the womb. I read recently in a paper, you may have had that down here, in a hospital. The nurse walked past this room where this little baby had been aborted. If I were to tell you about abortion tonight, there are four basic ways you would be horrified. You'd leave this tent tonight just weeping. Little babies just destroyed in the womb. But this little baby was on the bench. And it was crying. How can a doctor, how can a nurse, how can a mother live with themselves? But it's all because of this flood of pornography and filth that is sweeping through the nation, which is destroying our young people everywhere. God wants to protect us psychologically. Young person, if you engage in premarital illicit sex, you're always going to have flashbacks. It's always going to come back to you. There's that guilt. But then too, God wants to protect society. He wants to strengthen the nation. I see Scandinavia today. There's a total turning around to a puritanical attitude because they have seen what illicit free sex is doing to the country. And they're cleaning up all the porno shops. And they're saying, we want to clean up the whole country because we can see that we're going to disaster. Joseph was a young man in the Bible. He was employed by Potiphar. And Potiphar went away and his beautiful wife tried to seduce him. She said, Joseph, come and lie with me. There's nobody here. Nobody will know about it. And day after day, he resisted her charm. She said, Joseph, don't be so Victorian. Forget about your standards. Let's have sex together. And one day she grabbed him by the coat. Now notice what he said. He said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Young person, if you commit fornication, not only do you sin against your own body, not only do you sin against your parents, not only do you sin against society, but most of all and worst of all, you sin against a holy and a righteous God. Folks, singer Sebastian Temple wrote these words not very long ago in a song. He said this, love is silence, but lust is raw. Love is sacrifice, but lust always wants more. Love is giving, but lust only takes. Love is a meeting of hearts, but lust breaks. The Bible is one of the most explicit books on the subject of sex. Now notice what it says. And listen, folks, tonight, parents, if you think I'm being a little bit blunt about speaking about these kind of things, who do you think is going to speak out about them if the church doesn't say anything to the young people? Do you think they're going to get it from some pagan at the university? The Bible says this, marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers will God judge. The Bible says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thine heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine heart, in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Say tonight, Bill, God knows, another person knows, and I know that I've sinned against God in this area. And some of you men here tonight are just as bad as have some of you young people, because although you haven't done it in the act, you've done it in your mind just the same. And Jesus Christ said it is just as bad. But notice what it says. Paul writes to the Corinthians about this. He says this, don't you know that the unrighteous shall inherit the kingdom of God? Now this is God speaking. I'm not saying this tonight. Your argument with God if you disagree. Don't you know that the unrighteous shall inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. If you go on like that, young person, you will never get to experience God's heaven. They're all like this. Paul says you are just like that. Sins, you've committed every sin in the book. But now notice what he says. These Corinthians have come to Jesus Christ. They've committed their lives to him. Notice what he says. Such was some of you, but now you're washed. What does that mean? That means this, that they've come to the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ. They've knelt under the drippings of Calvary. They've acknowledged that Jesus Christ has died for them. And they've said, Lord, I've sinned. I'm sorry for my sin. Lord Jesus, forgive my sin, cleanse my sin in your precious blood, because I know that you've said that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin. And I want to be forgiven. I want to be cleansed. And listen, the moment that we do that, Jesus Christ cleanses us from every sin that we have ever committed. Isn't that fantastic? The blood of Jesus Christ does cleanse us from all sin in our life. All sin. There's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. And as you give your life to him, as God now looks at you, he doesn't see you in your sin. He doesn't see me in my sin. But he sees that his son, Jesus Christ, is living in your life because you've received him by faith as Lord and Savior. Notice what it says. You are washed. You're sanctified. Now that means set apart from God. For God. Set apart from God. Just for God. Notice too it says, you're justified. That means just as if you had never sinned. Made right with the very presence of God. It says in the name of the Lord Jesus and in the Spirit of our God. The fantastic cleansing that you can have. If only you'll give your life to Jesus Christ. And young people, listen. Be careful who you go out with. There's no truer saying that says you go like the company that you keep. So make sure that you keep the right company. You know, there are so many guys, girls, let me just fill you in on some of the little tactics of some of the guys that will try to seduce you. And they'll come along with so many different lines. Now there's the old smoothie lines, and one of them is, oh, nobody really loves me. Nobody really cares. And the girls feel so sorry for these guys. You know, they're maternal instincts. Oh, they're, you're not too bad. Change your toothpaste, but you're not bad. And then the other line says, well, aren't you lucky? Oh, you lucky thing. Tell you what, I'm busy this week. I'm taking out Susie on Tuesday night, and I'm taking out Becky on Thursday night. Listen, I think I can fit you in on Friday night. You say, whoa, you're taking out Susie. Boy, she's something. And Becky, boy, I've just got to go out with this guy. He's just a fantastic. And you go out with him. And he seduces you because you think that everything, he's such a great guy, and you'll do everything that you possibly can just to keep his attention. And you'll destroy your life. And then there's the old line, well, if you really love me, just bounce that one back and say, oh, listen, if you really love me, you would want the utmost good for my life, and certainly that isn't taking my virginity from me. But then too, there's the old one, well, we're going to get married anyway. Listen, what if you don't get married? What if he desires somebody else? Then you're just a conquered castle, kind of like an orange, and he squeezed all the goodness out, and he's just thrown you away. And then too, there's the old, well, don't be frigid, line. Listen, you just keep yourself for God, and that right one is going to come along. And then too, there's the old line, well, sin, if you don't go all the way with me, man, I'm not going to take you out anymore. Well, forget it. You're better off without him. Just tell him, forget the whole thing. But listen, guys, tonight I want to fit you in on a few of these girl smoothies. I mean, there's something else. Some of these girls today, man, when you take them out, you'd have to have an asbestos suit. They're so hot. And some of them will say, oh, come on, what sort of a man are you? Just say, listen, I'm a man that wants the best for you in your life. And I don't want to see you stop, you see destroyed. And then some of them say, oh, come on, don't stop now. You're in a situation like that, you better be like Joseph. You better run. And then to you girls, there's the dress line. Just be careful how you dress. One girl came to Jesus Christ. She looked in the mirror and she changed. She said, from now on I'm going to dress as though Jesus Christ himself were my escort. The young person, listen. Give that life to Christ. I don't know how that any young person can live pure today without having Jesus Christ in your life. Young person, get back here tomorrow afternoon, because I want to share with you how to choose a partner for life, the kind of qualities to look for, how to really know that you're in love. But there are so many choices that you have to make tonight, so many decisions that have to be made. Jim Morrison, he wrote that song in the end, sung that song in the end, and he said, cancel my subscription to the resurrection. I'm sorry, Jim, you can't have it that way. Because there is going to be a resurrection. There's the resurrection of the just and the unjust, and we're all going to stand before God, whether you like it or not. You've got to make a decision. Scott Bon Scott from AC/DC, they sang that song, we're on the highway to hell. We want to go our own way. Let me tell you how he finished up. They went out on a drunken orgy one night. He fell on the back seat of the car. They knew he was in a drunken stupor. They threw a blanket over him. They said, we'll be back in the morning, Brian. Just sleep it out. We'll come back and get you. They came back the following morning, and there he was, dead, drowned in the pool of his own vomit. There was Brian Jones of the Rolling Stones. He sung that song. I guess the most sung song in history. I can't get no satisfaction. And he proved it. He went out to the backyard of his home and committed suicide. I listened to the group Led Zeppelin's, one of their songs in New Zealand just the other week. They're singing the song Stairway to Heaven, and they're saying there are two roads and you can change any time. Young person, you can't. When God speaks to you, you must make your decision to receive Jesus Christ. That's a lie of the devil. If God says to you tonight, give your life to me, then don't put it off any longer, but make that decision to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord. We reversed that song as we were listening to that group, and they were saying lyrics like this, I live because I live with Satan, oh my sweet Satan. They'd given themselves over to Satan. Now those songs were written by occultists. Jimmy Page, he's got the biggest occult shop in England. He lives in a house that was owned by a man who was as evil as all hell. He was known as the Beast, and it's been reported that they even had child sacrifices in that place. Now Janis Joplin is a girl that you kids know tonight. You go to the record shops, you see all the records there. You think that she was a pure, young, gay-free young girl. She was nothing of the sort. Her body was riddled with gonorrhea. She was gay. She was a lesbian. She recorded one night in Sunset Strip, and she went to a motel room. And she stood in front of the mirror, and she took two syringes, one filled with LSD and another with a kind of liquid cement. She plunged them into her veins, and with a long fingernail and a razor blade, She ripped and she tore the flesh from her face and died in a pool of her own flesh and blood. Young people, there are people that made the wrong choices. I wish that we could share with them the difference that Jesus Christ can make in a person's life. I think of B.J. Thomas, who was on a $3,000 a week drug habit. He left his wife and beautiful little girl, and he went his own way, and his wife rang him up one night, and she said, "Oh, B.J., the most fantastic thing has happened to me in my life." He said, "What is it?" Typical woman, she said, "I'm not going to tell you unless you come home." But she came home. She said, B.J., I've made the decision to give my life to Jesus Christ, and He has changed my life. I feel so clean and so pure and so free. B.J., why don't you do the same thing?" He stayed home for a few days, and they talked about it. But not long after that, he gave his life to Jesus Christ and was totally transformed by the power of Jesus Christ and the Spirit. Arthur Blessed is a man that carries a wooden cross around the world. A tremendous ministry has started off in his place, there in Sunset Strip in Hollywood, where he had this little coffee shop and this big cross on the wall. And he saw a lot of kids coming to Jesus Christ, and there was this young guy from a gang. Now, I've been to some of those places in Houston and in Dallas and in San Francisco, in Los Angeles, and you watch your back every second when you're there. I travel with a policeman. In Nashville, we had guns stashed all over the car because of the violence. Well, this guy came to Christ. It's always a thrill to me to see a guy who's living pretty well give his life to Jesus Christ, and girls likewise. The gangs don't like it. One says, "I'm going to get Arthur Blessed." He came into the shop one night. He pulled out his stiletto and flicked the blade and put it at Arthur's throat. He says, "Arthur, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to cut you to pieces." He backed Arthur up into his little office, and Arthur looked right into his eyes. He said, "Listen," he said, "that knife of yours can either cut me to pieces or it can cut butter." He said, "Your lips can either praise God or curse God." He said, "I've made my choice. You must make yours." And tonight, listen, young person, you've got to make a choice. You've got to make the choice whether you're going to live for yourself or you're going to live for God, whether you're going to commit your life to Jesus Christ. You say, "Bill, how do I do it?" A, B, C. A, you must admit that you've sinned against God. B, you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that means that you must commit your life to Him. You must receive Him as your Savior and Lord. And then C, you must confess Him. And I'm going to ask you tonight to confess Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you to do something that we've seen people already in Hobart do in the past few days. I'm going to ask you to do something that thousands of people have done in this tent, in many other places throughout Australia. I'm going to ask you in a moment, where you're standing, to come down here to the front. Stand quietly and reverently and say tonight, "I'm going to give my life to Jesus Christ and I'm going to stand for Him. I'm going to give everything to Him tonight." And as you come, you won't stand alone, because a counselor will come and stand with you. We want to have a little word of prayer with you. We want to share with you from God's Word. And you can go back to your friends, but you'll go out of this tent tonight with the greatest excitement in your heart, knowing tonight that you've made the greatest decision of your life, that to receive Jesus Christ, that to commit your life totally to Him. There are only two classes of people in this world. There are the saints and the ain'ts. And some of you tonight have made that decision to receive Christ, and some of you haven't. And as God looks on this meeting tonight, that's all that He sees. He doesn't see classes, He doesn't see races of people. He only sees those that have made their decision for Jesus Christ, and those who haven't. Two roads tonight. The broad road and the narrow road. Two choices. Two destinies. What's your destiny at this moment in time? It said about Moses that he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. There are pleasures in sin. Nobody doubts that. But they're only for a season. In Deuteronomy it says, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." Young person, listen, if you don't come to Christ, you're going to go out and get married, and you're going to have children, And they're not going to have the opportunity to come to God simply because you refuse at this moment to give your life to Jesus Christ. And ultimately, many people might wind up in hell because of your disobedience to God. Give them a break by you giving your life to Christ tonight. Elijah said this to all the people. How long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. If God is in heaven, and He is tonight, if Jesus Christ is Lord, and He is, then make the decision. Get off the devil's side, come to the Lord's side. And give your life to Christ. Jeremiah said this, and unto this people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I have set before you the way of life and the way of death. Young person tonight, right here and now, make your decision to receive Jesus Christ. Let every head be bowed, please, and every eye closed. Right across the tent tonight, please. Let every head be bowed and every eye closed. Look tonight, young person. Young man, young girl tonight, if you're not sure that you're a Christian, and I believe that there are many men and women here tonight, and you're not sure whether you're a Christian as well. There are parents here tonight, and you need to set the example in your home by receiving Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you to do it right now and give your life to Him. If you're not sure, as I said before, that if you were to die right now, that you'd go to be with God in His heaven, then be sure. The Bible says, he that has the Son, Jesus Christ, has life. And you can have that life right here and now, simply by receiving Jesus Christ. Now, no matter wherever you are tonight, whichever place in the tent or outside the tent, if God is speaking to your heart, and you know that you need to receive Jesus Christ, you know that you need to receive His forgiveness, His abundant life, He died on that cross for you, He's alive, and surely right now you can give your life to Him. So pray this prayer with me right there where you are tonight. Wherever you're sitting or wherever you're standing, wherever you are, say this in your heart to God. Say, dear Lord Jesus Christ, say it silently in your heart. God's waiting to hear it. I'll say it out loud, phrase by phrase. You pray it silently in your heart. Say, dear Lord Jesus Christ, tonight I come to You. Thank You for dying on that cross for me and for rising again. Lord, I have sinned. I'm sorry for my sinfulness. I turn from my sinfulness to You. Lord Jesus, right now, I ask You to come into my heart, to be my personal Saviour and Lord. From now on, I want to live my life completely for You. So we're bowed in prayer, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I believe that many, many people have prayed that prayer with me tonight. There have been young men, young girls here tonight. There have been people in their 20s. There have been many men and women tonight, and you've prayed that prayer with me, and that's exciting. The angels in heaven are rejoicing tonight because of that decision that you've made to commit your life to Jesus Christ. But I also believe that tonight God wants to do a deep work in the hearts of His children here tonight. And there are many, many of you here tonight, and you're not really as in love with Jesus Christ as you have been in some past day. There are things that have come in your life. You're not reading the Bible so much these days. You're not spending time in prayer. You don't really enjoy the work of the Lord and to be found in the house of the Lord, witnessing for the Lord, serving the Lord. And you know that you've lost that victory. The Bible says, thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no better time for you to come back to God than right here and now. And I'm going to ask you to do it. Right here and now. As a Christian tonight, who wants to give everything to Jesus Christ, pray this prayer with me. Parents, tonight you ought to pray it, if for no other reason than for the sake of your kids, to really get on fire for God. And young people, I encourage you to give your life totally to God. You will never be happy, and you know that right now you're not as happy as a Christian that you ought to be, because you know that there are areas that you haven't totally given to God. Then do it right now. Pray this prayer in your heart as I pray it out loud.
say as a Christian, Dear Lord Jesus Christ, tonight I come to you afresh. I ask you to take my life in a new and dynamic way. Forgive me for the way that I've strayed from you, for the love that I've lost. But Lord Jesus, tonight, I surrender all. I lay my life on the altar of sacrifice anew.
This ends the message, Youth at the Crossroads. If you prayed with Mr. Newman, we would like to send you the free booklet, Welcome to the Family, which contains help for you in the Christian life. Please write to Bill Newman Crusades, Australia, and be sure to include your return address.